welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Yeah, let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Thanks, Hal Anthony, for Behind the Woodshed. Great show with a lot of information and some education. I appreciate it. No, Hal, it's not regular. It's just a schedule thing. As a matter of fact, let me get to that right now. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. If you all could, just post in any social media that you're using that we are live now and see if we can bring some people into the chat room and onto the site. That would be awesome. This week, I had to work Saturday again. It was the last Saturday dental thing that we have scheduled, so... You know, I didn't want to rush back from doing Saturday, actually work an entire week plus Saturday, and then come do a show Saturday night. It always seems kind of rushed when I do it like that. So, I just moved it to Sunday, and some scheduling notes for this coming week. Remember, I'm having my knee surgery on Wednesday, and so there's no way I'm going to be doing a show Wednesday. I'll be drugged up, which might be kind of fun, but, let me turn this air conditioner off. Probably got the hum in the background. Be a little bit annoying. Well, maybe not for you guys. I don't know if it's picking it up or not, but anyway, Wednesday I'm having knee surgery, so I will be out, for the, I don't know what was so funny. What did I do? Okay, somebody let me in on the joke there, or not. Anyway, no show on Wednesday, let's just say that right now. Saturday should be back to normal schedule with a show Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So, you know, look forward to seeing you guys. It'll be a quiet week for me. You know, because after the surgery, I got to keep my leg elevated. I'll be probably I'll be sitting in a recliner with my leg up and probably one of those circulating ice machines on it. Because I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this heals properly. I'd like to get back to being active again. You know, it's not a knee replacement. It's not really any kind of a huge deal. Tore my meniscus. Yeah, it's going to suck for some weeks, but I think it'll be fine eventually. I don't know. You know, the older you get, you start questioning whether things are going to be fine or not. I mean, I was literally doing nothing when I snapped my meniscus. I was standing in the yard and I started to move forward. Simple. Typical, nothing, you know, walking movement, and boom. Yeah, all swelling eventually stops. Exactly. Same with the bleeding. Let's see. You know, I've been doing these ride-alongs in the morning. I do like a five-minute show while I'm riding to work because something is fresh in my mind. I'd encourage you to go check out two of those that I did this week. I'm going to talk about both of them today, but probably not as in-depth as I did on that little five-minute ride. I really enjoy doing that. I think it's just because it's a short ride to work. It's 6 miles. And, you know, I get going, and then I start to, you know, whatever thing I'm going to comment on that day, and I record it, and you get to enjoy the ride to work with me. And whatever, you know, hopefully interesting stuff I have to talk about. But this week, two things I talked about. I talked about three things on those two segments. One was, I was talking about television, and I use what do I use? I use YouTube TV for my as my television provider. Now, the local news station that I use for this entire week, their audio and video has not been in sync. And I went to some other channels and I watched some other live news shows, and everybody else is in sync except the one channel that I want to watch. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's kind of crazy. Most people who have been streaming or do podcasts, although podcasts is different, because a podcast, you can just record the podcast and you put it up. It's all audio. There's no visual. So nobody has to worry about whether your video and audio is synced because there's no picture to go with it. Well, streamers have had this figured out for a long time. There's a little process you go through to make sure that your audio and video is synced. And it isn't always. Like, I use Open Broadcasting System, and I have to put a little delay in to make sure that the video and audio are synced. So a lot of times when I start, when I'm doing a setup with OBS, I'll clap a couple times until the sync is perfect. So when I clap, you hear the smack when my hands actually touch together. And then you can go on and record and everything's fine. I don't know what it is about this TV station. You know, like, you could say, well, it's the streaming, it's your data or it's your internet, but it can't be because all the other stations are perfectly synced. Only this one stupid station, and it's just irritating as hell. Anyway, I followed that up with what I called like a Biden assassination attempt right in front of our eyes. And really, when I first started thinking about this, I was like, you know, this really isn't that far-fetched. I mean, anybody who's lived 60 years remembers Kennedy being shot. And, you know, I don't care what you believe, but you got to question what happened in that particular instance. And then if you carry it on to today, if you don't trust the government agencies that are in charge of security and intelligence, as I don't, it really wouldn't be that far-fetched to say that they would attempt to assassinate Biden, and if they were going to do it, why not do it in plain sight? And my point was, you know, here the guy's been double-vaxxed, double-boosted, and then they give him Paxlovid, and he reinfected with COVID. And I was just thinking, well, maybe they're trying to kill him. I mean, everything has gone to hell in a handbasket. They're in, you know, dire straits for the next election, it looks like, although I don't believe it. I think they're fine. They're probably perfectly fine. Hey, Bear wants in, and he's pounding on the door to get in. I'll get to him in a minute. He's just staring at me like I'm crazy. Okay, let's put some music on. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Let's see. Yeah, I'm back. Where was I? I was letting Baron. He was out sleeping underneath a fan. It's hot here today. It's stupid hot here today. Like, going to be 100 degrees. And we don't get 100 degrees very often at all. It's pretty rare. Like, maybe 6 days out of the year. Maybe. And that's stretching it. But yeah, we're going to get there today. I don't know about here. I'm close enough to the coast. We get a little buffer from the Pacific Ocean. But it's hot. it's going to be in the upper 90s at the very least. Anyway, so I was talking about Biden and being assassinated in plain sight, basically. And why wouldn't one of the you know, lettered agencies of our awesome government, why wouldn't they just do it in plain sight? You know, oh, Biden's got COVID. Oh, Biden's got monkeypox. Oh, Biden has Marburg, or, you know, whatever else is coming our way, which I'm going to get to a story here in a bit that will explain to you that there's a lot of stuff that could be coming our way. You know, hopefully it won't, but you got to be prepared. So anyway, I did a show about that assassination attempt on President Biden. And then after I did it and posted, I was like, oh, crap. I wonder if the FBI will show up tomorrow and have a little chat with me. But I didn't say anything about actually assassinating anybody. I just said, you know, it would, you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that that would happen or could happen right in front of our eyes. Maybe we watched it happen, you know. If this bioweapon that they created, if they can access it at later times, it would seem to me pretty easy to selectively kill some people. And if one of those people happened to be the president of the United States that you no longer had any use for, seems to me it would be pretty easy. And then another show, one of the other ride-alongs, I was talking about what happened at my pre-op appointment, which I think affects everybody, at least everybody in the United States and maybe outside of the United States also. But this was really interesting. So I had my pre-op appointment on, I don't know, what day is today? Oh, today's, I had my pre-op appointment on Thursday. And, you know, they just go over your medical history and make sure everything's fine and, you know, get your weight and your EKG and blood pressure and stuff. And they're like, okay, you're cleared to go. But the nurse I was talking to, she was about a year younger than I am. And we were talking about, you know, the shortage of healthcare personnel in both our fields, like nursing and hospital and dentistry. And I was like, well, I said, where did all these people go? Like, she was talking about getting, having to, you know, get an appointment to get a cleaning, not with me or my office, but just in general. And I was like, yeah, good luck, man. You better make an appointment now, because I know we don't even have a hygienist at my office. We have somebody that comes once every week or two, and she works for about 6 hours as a hygienist. But just think, so of all the patients that I have, I see maybe 20 patients a day, 4 days a week for now. And those people are not getting preventative care by going to the hygienist and getting a cleaning, you know. Well, they are, but they're booked out so far. Like, I don't know, they're booked out beyond December. It's like January, February of next year. If you make an appointment today to get a cleaning, it's 6 months or more. And the future isn't looking bright there either. But let me kind of stick to the point about the hospital. So this nurse who was doing my pre-op appointment, she said a lot of the nurses during COVID started to travel. They became traveling nurses. So they would go from one hospital to another. And I think some of that was that if one hospital said, well, you got to get a vaccine or you're no longer going to be working here, they just packed their bags and went to another hospital. And if it was a state issue, a state requirement, then they went to a state that didn't have that requirement or where they could get some kind of an exemption for getting the vaccine. Well, anyway, this has turned into a thing now. So like a ton of nurses that are currently providing services to the local hospital, they're all traveling nurses, and there is still a shortage. Like, they don't have all of their positions filled. So she was telling me one day they actually had to shut down the ER because there weren't enough nurses to provide coverage for the ER, for crying out loud. Now, we are kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and that little hospital, as great as it is, I mean, they probably don't get overwhelmed with true life-threatening emergencies every day. They probably have a few a week or something like that, or maybe a few a month, but otherwise they're just patching people up who had little accidents, need stitches, broken bones, whatever. But anyway, and she said another day they didn't have enough nurses to cover the ICU. So I don't know what she did there because I didn't ask, or what they did there, but because I didn't ask. But so then I was thinking, okay, this is kind of interesting. So I'm getting ready to have this surgery. How is this going to affect me personally? Like, and mainly I know this one thing is that my doc has his own surgical team assist him. Now, the anesthesiologist, I've worked in this hospital before. I have privileges there as a dentist because we would see adult patients with behavioral issues that needed to be put completely to sleep to have their dental care provided. And I had privileges at this hospital, so I know the anesthesiologists that work there and the nurse anesthetists that work there, and they're still there, which that's cool. And then the surgical team, he has his own people who assist him, so that's cool. And at least the surgeon isn't like a temporary surgeon coming in to cover for the day. But I could imagine that my pre-surgical and post-surgical care is probably going to be done by, traveling nurses, which I'm not going to say that's good or bad. I think nurses are awesome people. They're kind of amazing, the stuff that they have to know compared to a doctor. I know that sounds like blasphemy, I'm sure. But nurses actually have to know a ton of stuff, a ton of stuff, and also have to kind of be able to evaluate like doctor's orders and make sure that they're accurate, and appropriate for whichever patients and whatever. So. But a little bit strange knowing that you're going to have probably some part of your visit in the local hospital is going to be the services are going to be being provided by traveling nurses, transitional, temporary people. People are coming in for a month or so and then moving on. And you really can't blame them because they're making great money. They're getting paid really well. I don't know if they have benefits, but they're getting paid enough that they can pay for their own benefits, I'm sure. I know if when I did some contracting work, the amount of money that I asked for was astronomical because the cost that I have to put out of pocket myself, pretty high cost. If you're an employee for somebody else and they cover your, health benefits and your 401k and your licensing and your malpractice, and they cover all those costs. Well, then you can take less in salary because all those other costs are being covered. But if you're paying for them yourself, you want to make sure you get compensated enough to pay for all that stuff. Be stupid to work and not be able to pay all for all the stuff you have to pay for. Anyway, so I thought it was interesting. It's just something to think about. Stay safe out there as much as you can. Like I wasn't doing anything and got injured, so things happen. But it's something you might want to consider if you do end up going to the hospital. Although I'm sure that they will take perfect care of whatever you and. Nothing will happen, I'm sure. All right, let's get on to the meat. Wait, let me make sure. I wanted to make sure I covered a couple of things, kind of local updates. One is, I can't remember if I mentioned the bees in the north pasture, but they were like not swarming. They called it bearding. Like there was a bajillion bees outside of the boxes. And the beekeeper came and actually added another box and maybe going to add another, so two more boxes. So we already have four B boxes and are doing so well, they actually wouldn't fit in the four boxes we had. So he's adding two more. And he was really excited about it, which is awesome. And it also makes me really excited about it that everything up there is going so well. I was always wondering, you know, how bees would do here. We tried it a couple times ourselves, and we weren't successful, so it's nice to have a professional out here doing it and having some success. So that's good. The garden is looking awesome, and I talked last week a little bit about the wild spinach, and I did post about the wild spinach. It's crazy how much of that stuff is around. So not only, you know, can you grow your own food, but I mean, if you learn what is around you that you can eat, you won't starve to death. You know, you will find a way to, you know, get some food. I noticed my mullein plants, which I just discovered last year, and the benefits of mullein. I have one second year plant that's just going to be massive. It's gigantic, and it's just starting to flower. The stalk is just starting to flower. And I have a bunch more around the property, but some of them are first year plants, so we'll see. But at least I have that. I have comfrey, I have hibiscus. I mean, I can't even name all the medicinal stuff we have growing here. And I really should one day just go take inventory of it all. And I will, but probably not for a while. Okay, let's get on to the stuff I really want to cover today. So anyway, go check out those ride-alongs. I think they're fun and interesting, and I hope you enjoy them too. And it's kind of fun to see the morning coming on here in the Pacific Northwest as I ride to work. Okay, so this whole energy thing is really becoming an issue. And even though we may not be experiencing them right now ourselves here in the United States, from examples across the pond, I would say get ready, because we are not in any different boat than Germany, and Germany is having some issues. I'm going to read some of this, and then I'll comment on the way, but it says some of Germany's biggest cities are preparing for an energy crunch this winter by shutting off warm water, limiting heat, and switching off lighting. Between October 1st and March 31st, Hanover's municipal buildings will not be allowed to be heated to a temperature over 68 degrees Fahrenheit. The city has banned the use of mobile air conditioning units and fan heaters. The citizens of Hanover will be forced to take cold showers at city-run facilities because they're turning off the hot water, because it takes energy to heat hot water. And the German city will cut off hot water in public buildings, swimming pools, and gyms. The situation is unpredictable. Every kilowatt hour counts, and protecting critical infrastructure has to be a priority, said Hanover Mayor Bella Anne, who is part of the Green Party. We are facing hard times due to the Russian aggression on Ukraine. Okay, so it's Russia's fault, of course, and Russia's aggression on Ukraine. Why? I don't know, because Germany isn't getting its energy from Ukraine, but let's follow it out. And we see that there's a looming gas shortage. This is a major challenge for municipalities. Everyone has to save as much as possible so we can get through the winter. How about that? What is it, August? It's August. And they are already trying to conserve energy so there will be kilowatts available later. We're going to find out why Germany's in trouble in just a minute. It says, otherwise in December or January, we will have a much bigger problem than lighting or the showers. So, yeah, so they're going to cut off, you know, heat and hot water and, you know, all those comforts. Not only comforts, but possibly health issues due to, like, okay, how many of us have worked in the food preparation field? How many of us have worked in restaurants or, you know, fast food places? I mean, your dishes have to be washed at a certain temperature, supposedly. I think you could probably, like at home, you probably, you know, get away with not having the water quite as hot because, you know, you're a family unit, everybody has the same germs. More than likely, you're not going to create an epidemic or a pandemic or cause somebody to get sick because you didn't wash your dishes at 165 degrees or whatever it is. But in a public setting, man, you got to have hot water to wash those things. And here, look at what's happened to Germany because they buy so much of their energy from Russia. So I don't understand how the Russian aggression against Ukraine is hindering Germany from getting its power. I got a feeling it's something different, but you know, it's that's easy finger pointing there to say, well, it's because of Russia's aggression against Ukraine. But really, it says here, in 2021, 34% of Germany's crude oil came from Russia. 53% of coal imported into Germany was shipped from Russia. And before the invasion of Ukraine, Germany received 55% of natural gas from Russia. So really, it's not Russia's aggression against Ukraine. It's probably Russia's desire to keep all of that energy to itself in case it needs it, in case Russia needs coal, natural gas, and crude oil. You know, they're going to keep it to themselves. Yeah, I know there are sanctions, which, I mean, again, perfect argument. So now the Green Party, the environmentalists have put you as a country in a place where you've negotiated away your ability to have fossil fuel in your own country, which, you know, is really funny because apparently you don't give a crap about Russia because, you know, Russia and China continue to mine and drill for oil, crude oil, and produce natural gas. And it's okay, you know, which is really strange. So if you really think the world is connected and that we shouldn't be polluting the entire world, then, I mean, if you use so much energy every single year, but you decide, well, I'm going to, 50% of our energy we're going to get out of Russia. Well, you're doing the same amount of damage if you believe that. You're doing the same amount of damage to the world. You just shifted the source of the damage somewhere else. Like, I'm always talking about hypocrisy, you know, and how I see hypocrisy in politics and life in general. But, I mean, does this make any sense whatsoever? You know, so you can stand up on a podium and say, hey, Germany is now green energy. We use less fossil fuels. We mine less fossil fuels than we have any time in our history. And oh crap, we get it from Russia and they cut it off. Or we got it from Russia and now because we're allies with the United States and the UK and whatever, we can't actually violate these sanctions and get this coal and crude oil and natural gas from Russia because, you know, there are sanctions against that. Well, good on you. You bargained away your freedom just like the United States did. You bargained away your freedom to continue to pollute the planet, just not here. Same amount of damage if you're getting the same, in fact, maybe more if you think about it, because think about this. Let's say the United States didn't mine any more coal starting today. And they're like, okay, China, we're going to buy all our coal from you. You've got our deal. We're buying all of our coal from you. Well, now China has to mine that same amount of coal. And trust me, China doesn't have the environmental constraints that the United States does. So China mines the coal, continues to pollute the earth, if you believe in that. If you believe that mining coal creates that much damage, well, guess what? It just moved to China instead of being done here in the United States. It's not less pollution. It's just further away, which means that you have to ship all that coal to the United States on ships that are not electric powered and not wind powered. They are fossil fuel powered ships. And then once it gets to the United States, you got to take that coal to the, you know, coal-fired power plants, which are scattered who knows where, and how are you going to do that? You know, do that with solar-powered trucks, with electric vehicles, electric trains maybe? Nope. You're doing it with fossil fuel-powered locomotives, fossil fuel-powered semi-trucks. So now, not only did you pollute the planet by continuing to use those, to mine those fuels somewhere else, but now you're using a ton more fuel to get it to the United States, and then using more of that fuel to distribute it in the United States. How much green sense does that make? Zero. Ask Germany now. You know, they're going to be rethinking their energy policy, I'm sure, but maybe it's too late. You know, you can't build a coal-fired power plant in a month. It takes a long time. You can't build a nuclear reactor in a year. It takes a long time. You shut down your power plants and decided to buy your energy from foreign entities who you may or may not, you know, remain friends with through the duration of this agreement for them to provide you energy. That probably wasn't good thinking. And I hope every single country in the world is looking at this. I hope every single country is looking at the failure of this policy. They probably aren't. You can bet the United States is. They're going full steam ahead, man. By the way, I don't know what the hell happened with Senator Manchin. Manchin? What's his name? Yeah, Manchin. But for a guy who's like senator of a state that mines coal and has, you know, fossil fuel powered power plants, electricity generators, that guy sold out. And you got to wonder why. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I saw that he was challenged by somebody on Fox News. I don't know who. And said, you know, basically was calling him out. Like, why did you change your mind? You know, why did you sell out all of a sudden? And, you know, he really stuck to his guns that he really thinks that this is a good idea, which I have. Somebody had to put some money in. Yeah, he's a Democrat, no doubt. He's one of the Democrats that constantly holds back, reins in the Democrats, but not this time. Hey, it's full on, you know, this extended spending package that's coming at us. It's going to, you know, increase inflation up to 2024. Hello, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, it's being called. You wait, man. If that thing passes the House and the Senate, get ready. You know, I hope you've made arrangements to have or get food from somewhere. You know, hopefully you're able and ready to survive whatever is coming at us. Because we can't have done everything that we have done. Increased, you know, the cost of goods and gas and services, have such a shortage of available employees. How in the hell is it that the employment numbers are supposedly so good, but yet there's two jobs available for every person who is not working? And how come we can't get dental assistants that, hell, some companies are willing to actually hire and do on-the-job training, and we can't even get people to come in the door? I mean, what is going on that people are not, well, people are able to not work? I mean, you know, God bless them, for real. You know, if they're surviving on whatever it is that they're surviving on, good on them, you know. I don't know if you guys know this. Do you know that McDonald's, I hope it was McDonald's. You know, so I wasn't prepared, so I don't have the data to back this up right in front of me. But I heard on a story, a business story, I'm pretty sure it was McDonald's, that if you go to work at McDonald's, McDonald's will pay you to get a 4-year degree. They have some agreement with one college in the United States, and I can't remember if it's Colorado or Arizona, Montana, I don't know, some college they made an agreement with. If you continue to work for McDonald's, number one, you don't even start off at minimum wage. They actually pay you better to work at McDonald's. Number two, they will actually pay you to get, they will actually pay for your schooling to get a 4-year degree at whatever college it is. And I know you all already know this, and I'm not saying go out and get a job at McDonald's, but hey, if I were 18 again, I mean, it would be something I would be thinking of. Somebody's going to pay for me to go to college. I mean, I did it through the military. And that's really one of the few reasons I went in the military, because I knew I wasn't going to go anywhere, especially to college, on my own, because I didn't have the money. My parents didn't have the money. That's no kidding. For you, hey, let's make sure I'm not saying I think 4-year degrees are all that anymore. I think you still can get some 4-year education that will get you some employment, but it's not in political science, it's not in journalism, it's not in social studies, it's not in history, it's not in English. You know, it's in some of the fields where stuff is actually being done now. And honest to God, I wouldn't waste my money on a 4-year degree today. I would not. Right now, what you can make the fastest money, get yourself a skill at a 1 or 2 year community college or training school that you can, you know, get trained up in and go out and start making money. Hell, there are commercial airlines right now that if you, I don't know, pass their requirements, they will start training you to fly from zero and make you a commercial pilot. That's how desperate they are. There's a lot of opportunities out there that you don't have to put your own, you don't have to pay for out of your pocket some of this training that's going on that can lead to very good careers. Some of those commercial pilots make six-figure incomes. Oh, God, Moose Girl, me too. I cannot eat McDonald's. Oh, actually, I'm going to take that back, be completely honest here. I can eat an Egg McMuffin at McDonald's. That's the only thing. I don't know what happened between high school and just a couple years after high school. McDonald's changed its recipe to something, and it just absolutely makes me sick when I eat it. I'm not kidding. It's like, it's like instant intestinal battle going on if I were to eat a McDonald's burger. Now it's been decades since I ate a McDonald's burger because don't want to be sick. And it was kind of a shock when they changed whatever they changed and their food started making me sick. But apparently Egg McMuffin I can still do, because about twice a month, once a month, I'll still have an Egg McMuffin if I happen to be going somewhere early in the morning and pass by a McDonald's. For example, tomorrow I'm doing the root canal thing for kids down in Salem. I think it might be my last time because I think they came to a solution to that problem, which is awesome. But I'm going tomorrow, and yes, on the way, it's a 45-minute drive, 40-minute drive from here. There's a McDonald's on the way, and I always get breakfast when I'm going to go do something like a day away from my normal office. So I'll probably have Egg McMuffin in the morning. And then have my follow-up pre-op appointment tomorrow. Actually, it's just a COVID test to make sure I can get into my surgical appointment on Wednesday. That reminds me, I just want to shout out my staff here for a minute. You guys, this is amazing. So yesterday we were doing the Saturday dental thing where we opened an extra day for 4 days in the last 3 months. We worked on Saturdays to get more people in, to get more people care, right? Well, the patient who was scheduled at 4 o'clock had called in and told my front desk people, hey, my kids have tested positive for COVID, but I have not tested positive for COVID. And my front desk told them straight up, nope, absolutely not. We are not putting Doc at risk. He's scheduled for, I don't think she said all of this, but she basically told the patient, no, we're not going to see you today. Because she was looking out for me. I mean, that is how awesome my staff is. That they, even though this patient didn't have COVID, air quotes, their kids did. And I don't care if it's COVID or anything else. I don't want to get sick the week I'm going to go have surgery. Because you know, they are not going to let me in, no matter what. So, shout out to Tana at the front desk for, you know, having my back and keeping me safe this week especially. Let's get back to Germany. Did I cover it all? Let's see. Why is there a shortage? Blame Russia. Yeah, but it's not Russia's fault. Yeah, it's not Russia's fault. That's the bottom line. Yeah, don't dare produce your own fossil fuel, you know, powered energy plants and shut down. Look at how many we've shut down already. Let me give you an example of just how crappy some of these power alternatives are, because I'm always trying to sell the idea that they're horrible. I mean, there may be an application for them, but they don't ever pencil out to make financial sense to do them. So in the last, in the last 6-8 weeks, somebody did a study of the power produced by alternative energy sources here in the Pacific Northwest. And during the last heat wave that we had, which, by the way, I'm just going to go off on a tangent here. So, you know, in my entire life living in the Pacific Northwest, even when I didn't live here, I still kept track of what was going on in the Pacific Northwest, right? Because I consider it my home. I never heard about heat waves unless we had, you know, 100-degree days for 3 days in a row or something like that. Now, I think this year they were like, you know, this isn't a traditional heat wave. We consider a heat wave when there's 3 days above 95 degrees. Well, why? I mean, do you only say that to make it, do you only say that to kind of have a reason to say heat wave? Otherwise, it's just 3 hot days. You see what I'm saying? Like, so in the previous 59 years, I'm 64. So whenever I started like paying attention to what the temperature is going to be tomorrow, however long that's been, never heard heat wave if it was 95 degrees for 3 days. All of a sudden now, it's like, you know, we have this heat wave coming up. We expect to have heat over 95 degrees for 3 days. I'm like, 95? No. We never considered 95, you know, a heat wave. We never considered the first day of 95 to be the beginning of a heat wave. We never said 3 days of 95 and above was a heat wave. It's like 100. You know, or 106 or 110, which never well, virtually never happens here in the Pacific Northwest. But yeah, now for some reason, it's the thing. And I think it's just a political thing so that these agencies can fit into the narrative that, you know, man is causing this climate change, you know, and that, you know, it didn't used to be like this, but yeah, it didn't used to be like this because we didn't call it a heat wave until it was 100 degrees for 3 days. So now I can expect next year and the year beyond, every time it hits 95, they're going to say, you know, well, we're starting a heat wave. Well, no, we're not. And this is what irritates me about language, too, is because I always go back to this vaping thing. I smoked before I started vaping, and you would have, you know, before they started banning vaping everywhere, people would say, don't blow your smoke near me. I'd be like, it's not smoke, it's vape. There's a big difference. There's no burning biological material. It's vapor. It's vapor, literally not smoke. But even today, you hear people who are covering whatever about vaping talk about smoke, and it's not smoke. Anyway, so, you know, back to what I'm saying about the heat wave. It's not a heat wave, but you will hear it called a heat wave, and then they'll continue to call it a heat wave until everybody gets on board that 95 degrees and above is a heat wave if it lasts for 3 days. And then who knows, in 10 years, they'll move it down to 90 because we're headed for an ice age. climate change, remember. Not global warming anymore, climate change. What was I getting at? Oh yeah, so they studied the energy about during the last heat wave here in the Pacific Northwest. I got to wet my whistle. Hang on. Everybody drink up. Oh, I don't know how Hal does it for 2 hours. That dude is amazing, man. 2 hours straight. I never hear him take a sip. He doesn't take a break. Like, he doesn't. He just keeps going, man. I want to know what his routine is. Maybe he and I ought to get together sometime for sure. Okay, so they did a study on the energy usage and the production of energy during the peak of demand in the Pacific Northwest, which was the last heat wave, where we were over 95 degrees for 3 days in a row. So they looked at all of the energy production that came out of solar, wind, and hydro or fossil fuel. Guess what? During the greatest need for power, because people were trying to stay cool, businesses were trying to keep their food cool and cold so it didn't rot, solar and wind produced 2% of the power needed during the peak demand for energy. 2%. Which is kind of amazing because it was sunny as hell, 95 degrees for 3 days in a row. 2%. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever taken a drive along Interstate 84, which runs from the basically the whole northern border of Oregon from west to east or east to west. Washington is right across the river there. It is lined with wind turbine generators. Like zero production from wind turbine generators. None. Because it wasn't windy. It was sunny. 2% of the demand. We got a long ways to go. A long ways to go. In fact, we have so far to go that I hope to God people see how inefficient it is before we get there. And more people are waking up. More and more people are looking for the truth. More and more people are getting away from mainstream media because they know mainstream media is owned. And it's owned by all of the companies who want you to continue to believe in the current narrative. They want you to believe that fossil fuel is killing the world. They want you to believe that electric cars are the way to go. That's why they don't talk about mining rare earth minerals, rare earth metals. Why they don't talk about the children that are harmed in mining those minerals. Because that's not the face that they want you to see. That's not the story. They want you to believe that clean energy is absolutely all natural, that nobody dies in the production of clean energy, and that's just not true. And it would be expensive if we mined those things with the restrictions that we have similar, the restrictions that we have here in the United States, with OSHA and all the regulations that they have. I mean, look at all the regulations they have on fossil fuel production right now. And look how they tax fossil fuel when they're not even the ones producing it. I mean, they, the government. No, they don't want you to know that all of these companies that are making gigantic profits are destroying the earth, tearing up the earth. Some of these mining practices are horrendous. You know, people, you remember when people started raising hell about these giant pit mines? They're not called pit mines. I forget what they're called. One is in Butte, Montana, that gigantic, maybe it is called a pit mine, but it's just like an open mine that they just keep going down. It's gigantic. Nah, strip mine. I don't, maybe. I don't know, but remember when people started complaining about that and how much damage it was doing and how ugly it was? I mean, back when they were doing placer mining and they were talking about how that, you know, waters were destroying, I mean, they were literally just tearing down mountains with super high powered water to wash out some gold that they can pan, you know, or whatever. But we don't talk about all the mining that goes into mining the stuff needed for electric car batteries. We don't talk about the children they use to go mine those products. And we don't talk about the children that are injured, directly injured by working in those mines or killed by working in those mines, because that's not the face of green energy. Green energy is the butterflies and the birds and the beautiful forest, you know, and sunshine filtering through the leaves, and, you know, just peace and harmony, because it's completely renewable energy. There'll come a day. There will come a day. I mean, it may be too late for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people will pay the price. I think a lot of people will eventually die. Probably on purpose, obviously on purpose. I mean, part of the design here is to eliminate a certain number of people on the earth. And yeah, a lot of people will probably die. Because, you know, you're not going to be able to keep your food fresh if you don't have a cooler, a refrigerator, a freezer. If you haven't prepared to dehydrate and store some vegetables or can some food, what are you going to do if you can't get your hands on food? What are you going to do if you can't store food? Because there's no electricity. What if you've stored a bunch of food and it all spoils because you don't have any energy? They just turn it off. Like, hey, sorry, energy crisis. We need all the energy over here, and we're shutting it off of over there. And you're over there. Yeah, you're out of luck. Better start eating. If you start eating like the bears. Let me just bring this up real quick. I can never remember where those freaking bears are. Oh my God, you guys, if you have not checked out, I'm going to go pull it up right now, the bears in Alaska. Yeah, hang with me here just a minute. The Brooks Falls Katmai National Park bear camera. I'm telling you, you need to go take some lessons from these bears. Seriously now. I'm not kidding about this, sort of. These bears are just standing in the river catching salmon. I mean, and the camera is on them 24/7. I know because I was up early in the morning and I've been up late enough at night to see that the camera's on. Just the bears aren't there the whole time. But yeah, they're just standing there stuffing themselves with salmon because of the high fat content and calorie content in salmon. And some of these bears already, it's only August, and they are getting plump, man. And yeah, I'm not advocating you stuff yourself to like four times your size. That would be really bad advice. But honestly, I'm maybe suggesting you put on a little fat for the hard times. And I'm not kidding about that. I mean, if you're not otherwise prepared to survive whatever is coming, and you're in pretty good shape, like I don't want any of you dying because, you know, we're trying to build a community here. I don't want anybody disappearing from the population that's joining us on Saturday and Sundays and Wednesdays. You know, if you did put on a little bit of weight, you will last longer if there's no food. It's not going to be fun. I've done a starvation diet before just for the hell of it. I've done it twice in my lifetime and lost a ton of weight. Everybody thought I had cancer and was dying, which was not funny, but funny. You know what I'm saying? And I told him, I go, no, I'm losing weight. I'm not doing it a good way, but I'm losing weight just because I wanted to lose weight. And it's not fun, and you really need to be careful that you're providing yourself with like at least the minimum amount of stuff you need every day, vitamins and minerals, you know, nutrients. But I'm not recommending anybody do that. I'm just going to tell you that if that happens, you'll last longer if you have a little fat layer on you. Now, right now, I have enough, probably last me a month, at least a month. I have lost a little weight since I said I was going to start losing weight, so that's good. I got to get some weight off of my knees because I weigh like 230, I think, and I'm 6 feet, 5'11". I'm 5'11", 230. Kind of heavy. Yeah, it's heavy. I'm fat, but I'm working on it. And it's going okay. I'd like it to go faster, but I'm really not crazy about going into that starvation thing again. But back to what I was saying. So if there's no energy, if they turn off electricity, if they just shut down the power grid because, or let's say an EMP takes out the power grid, nukes take out the power grid. I mean, probably we have less to worry about if somebody nukes us. But hackers take down the power grid and hold it ransom. And you know, any food that you have that requires refrigeration is going to spoil. Now, if it's canned, you'll probably be okay. If it's dried and vacuum packed, it'll probably last a long time, which we are doing both of those things with some of the food we're producing here and buying seasonal food that we can process and put in storage and really identifying the local stuff that, you know, local wild foods that you can just go forage for and eat. So, Let's see, where are we at time-wise? I know I started right on time, but I also then, did somebody text me? I'm looking. It looks like I got a note somewhere. I don't see it. So sorry if I missed a note from somebody. I'm looking. Oh, no, I'm right about there. We're right about at 60 minutes. So I wanted to tell you guys, I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you posting on social media that we're going live. I mean, look at how many people we have in chat today. That's awesome. I think people are just coming back. You know, we're reviving Real Liberty Media, taking it to, you know, a place. I don't know if it's a new place or an old place revisited. But it's coming back, and I appreciate the support. We're trying to get shows out there, trying to get people on social media sites to come here so they can learn the truth and have great discussions with people like you who are in the chat room. I appreciate that more than you know. And I know I don't always talk in the chat room, but I can tell you I have the chat room open about 100% of the time. Sometimes it resets, and it's really funny. It resets in the morning just after I get up, which is really weird. And some of you are kind enough to say good morning, Doc, and I'm not here. It's just that the damn computer IRC resets, and it looks like I just logged on, but I'm not here. But I appreciate the welcome and the good mornings anyway. Hey, thanks you guys for listening. Remember, no show on Wednesday, and hopefully back to regular schedule next Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dennis Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platform. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.